Welcome to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center, hometown hospital for the New York Giants. I'm Paul Dottino. He's David Deal. Glad you could join us to talk Giants football for the next half hour as the Giants prepare to take on the 11-1 Dallas Cowboys at MetLife Stadium. This is a team that has won 11 in a row, and the Giants, unfortunately, lost their six-game winning streak in Pittsburgh last weekend.
Yeah, but this isn't a tough one for this Giants football team to bounce back from. Number one, this is the first time that they have had to handle adversity in some time. But when you're talking about the Dallas Cowboys, Sunday night football with everything on the line for the division, this is a quick way for this team to bounce back from that loss, learn from it, regroup, and focus on this game, because this game is huge not only for the division but for the confidence needed in December to go through to the playoffs.
Quickly to the injury report, and we'll talk about JPP and obviously that big news coming down this morning a bit later on. But other guys on this list of significance, well, I got news for you. Justin Pugh and Shane Vereen, they were out there working in the media portion of practice. That's a good thing for the Giants.
That's definitely a good thing for the Giants on the offensive side of the ball. So you can get those guys back. But the other ones, you have to look at Jonathan Hankins and Odighizuwa. With JPP out, Jonathan Hankins needs to be in there to stop the run up against this rushing attack of the Dallas Cowboys offense. But Odighizuwa, we talked about players that have to step up. Odighizuwa, Kerry Wynn, Okwara, with JPP out, these players need to step up and provide and play sound football. They don't have to do anything outside of who they are as a football player, but they have to be fundamentally sound and do their job.
Now, to be clear, Kerry Wynn is the better of those guys at run-stopping, so I think you'll probably see a lot of situational substitutions and scheming, would you not?
Well, absolutely. That's the best way that you can manipulate having JPP out of there. Not to mention, you could add Devon Kennard to the mix because he is a pass rusher, he can be a stand-up guy on the outside, and can win those one-on-one matchups up against offensive tackles.
How does all of this affect Olivier Vernon, who's been the bookend to JPP, and both of them together have been great?
It affects Olivier Vernon the most out of anybody for the sheer fact that now you can focus your attention and your protection to one side. When Olivier was on one and JPP was on the other, you had to pick your poison, how you were going to chip, where you were going to put protection. Now you can key in on Olivier Vernon, so his effectiveness may be hampered, but this is the time when your star players, when you lose somebody, have to step up and play even better than they did before.
David, what's the danger in putting all your eggs in one basket? Everyone's been looking at this Dallas game as like the big game of the season, but the Giants are in a position now where if they do that, it could be dangerous.
Well, they could do that, and it could be dangerous, but at the same time, it's needed. They need to bounce back from this Steelers game. They need to show not only the people around the NFL, but themselves, who they can be and how good they can be as a football team collectively, all three phases, offense, defense, special teams.
All right, good stuff, David. We are waiting for the coach. He's still preparing for the Dallas Cowboys, getting his team off the practice field. One thing I thought was very interesting, David, last week, this Giants defense, which had to battle through some injuries, continued to fight and fight and fight. Now, it wasn't enough to beat the Steelers, but these guys, there's a core here between Collins and Vernon and Snacks. These guys have some good leadership in that locker room.
They really do, and there's a reason why they turn things around based on one word, accountability. As a football player, you are accountable to one another, and the way that they turn things around on the defensive side of the ball is based upon that, knowing your job, being disciplined, supporting one another, but flying around and finishing football games, and that's what this defense has done.
Now, on the other side of the ball, the offense has continued to struggle. There's no question about that. They have been inconsistent. David, this is a game where the defense is going to need some help from the offense.
They most certainly will. They offensively, they need to control the time of possession. They need to make sure that they have positive gains on first and second down, and that's their way that they can wear down this Dallas defense. The Dallas defense has been out on the field the least amount of any defensive group because of the way that their offense has been able to control the time of possession and manipulate things. If you break down this defense and take them into the fourth quarter, that's where you're going to break their will, and that's where you will see the things that they are not good at and their weaknesses show up.
You see Eli Manning's numbers last week against Pittsburgh. Two picks, 0 of 3 on fourth down conversions. Again, those were the bad spots that the Giants could not overcome.
He had opportunities, but he didn't make the most of them. And we talked coming into that football game just like this one. You have to score 24 points or you're not going to come away with the win. He had less than 200 yards throwing up against Cleveland, and he needs to play better. I think everybody knows that. I think the biggest thing that you really are worried about is watching the targets. They have to make sure they get their targets to Odell Beckham Jr., but also to Cruz and Shepard.
You know, last week, Beckham had 15 targets in the second half. That seemed to kind of skew where the ball was going. He averages 11, though, per game on the season.
And that was exactly what I was just talking about. Victor Cruz had zero targets up against the Pittsburgh Steelers the week before, up against the Browns. Zero targets for Sterling Shepard. I know you want to get the ball to Odell Beckham Jr., and he's working, but you have to spread the football around.
All right, David, good stuff. Coach McAdoo, not Coach Beckham, but Coach McAdoo's at the podium now. Let's send it to him.
At home on Sunday, that'll be a great challenge that we look forward to. But we have to take care of the preparation first. Their offense is clicking on all cylinders. Their O-line is a great O-line. They paved the way for Zeke and Morris. Dak is doing a fine job leading the troops. Dez, Witten, and Beasley have all developed chemistry with Dak since the last time we've seen them. The defense is playing very fast and aggressive, like they always do. They do a great job hunting the ball carrier. Lawrence has given them a nice boost, along with the Crawfords, and Collins is really playing well as a three technique for them. Lee and Jones have paired to be a great tandem in coverage at the linebacker and safety spots, and Jones and Bailey are always weapons in the kicking game. With that, we'll open it up.
Coach, you mentioned Prescott's chemistry now with Nisi and Brian. When you watch the game film, what's been the biggest change other than that since week one with the Dallas Cowboys?
You know, they do a nice job, obviously, running the football. That's where everything starts for them. They set up the long ball off of it. But just getting Dez back healthy has really helped them. It took a little while to get some chemistry going there, but they've done a nice job getting on the same page.
Ben, how would you characterize the loss of Pierre Paul?
You know, we wish JPP the best and a speedy recovery. And we'll use all-hands-on-deck approach to fill his shoes. It won't be easy to do, but we have confidence in the players in the room.
Obviously, it's disappointing news, and you're coming off a loss. How do you help lift the team's spirits a little bit this week?
Again, we're focused on our preparation for Dallas. We wish JPP a speedy recovery, but we have to move on.
Do you have guys that can adequately fill his hole, the hole that he leaves in the roster?
You can't expect one person to jump in there and fill his shoes. He's a very talented player. We'll use all hands on deck.
What have you seen from Romeo Okwara, who's a guy that played more in his place the other day? What did you see the other day in the season?
Yeah, you know, Romeo is a young, conscientious player. He's worked very hard to get to where he is. Has good pedigree coming out of a good school, and he's learned the techniques that are required to play the position.
Any idea overuse could have been a factor, or was it just something happened?
Nothing leans that way, no.
Ben, yesterday, you know, you knew that JPP was going down to get another opinion. Did it take you a little bit off guard that he was going to need surgery? Did you kind of thinking and hoping that he would just be able to rehab this?
No, you always prepare for the possible outcomes.
Is 4-6 accurate, and could he return if you guys make it that far in the playoffs?
Yeah. You know what? We're just going to support JPP any way we can. The sooner he gets back, and you know, whenever he can make it back, the better. You know, we'll support him any way we can, and whenever he's ready to go, we'll be ready for him. It's too early to tell. We're going to monitor. You know, he just got out of surgery a little bit ago, and see how he feels, see how he progresses.
Do your defense have to drastically change in that one?
No.
Ben, how much of the second half struggles against the run were due to his absence?
I think it was a combination of things. I don't think you can point to one particular position and say that's the reason for
it. Ben, what are the specific challenges that Elliott presents to you?
Well, he's a complete player. You know, he has good hands, so you have to be prepared for that. He's good in the screen game. He has a nice feel for the seams and staying in phase there, so we have to be ready for that. He took one to the house versus Pittsburgh. He's a big back that runs behind his pads, so it's hard to get a good clean shot on him. And he's a load. I mean, he's a big young man, and runs with a lot of energy.
As someone who spent a lot of time around quarterbacks, what do you think has been the key factor to allow Dak Prescott to succeed immediately in the NFL?
You know what? He seems, first thing I really notice about him is it's not too big for him. He's been a winner.
You know, that's one thing that we noticed when he first we first played him early in the season. His background is he's a winner, and doesn't seem too big for him, and he plays with pretty good poise.
How different did Dak look at this point? I mean, that was your first career game now there.
Yeah, I mean, we really didn't have a ton of tape of them in this league going into that game, obviously. But they've progressed nicely. They don't seem to be rookies who've hit a wall by any stretch of the imagination.
Michigan seems to change over a 13-week period. Both of you guys then, I mean, just in general.
I think you develop as the season goes on. You have a chance to harden your team. I think we're both two different teams.
What was your takeaway with the conversation with Cruz yesterday?
That'll stay between Victor and myself.
Ben, what does your offense have to do in a one-week period to improve from Sunday's outing till Sunday night's game?
Put our head down and keep on working. We can talk all we want. Talking's not going to get anything done.
Do you feel like you have to change some things, though?
Possibly.
Does Jason's absence put more burden on the offense to carry this team?
No, the offense, again, everyone needs to put their head down, get to work, and get a little bit better this week.
Ben, you mentioned...
He was limited today.
Is he making improvements?
Yes. He's progressing.
Ben, you mentioned the other day about Eric Flowers and, you know, his hand placement and some, you know, technical things. I mean, this has been, he's a young player, but this has been some ongoing things. Is he getting better at it? And you know, what how drastic is it, some of these issues he's having?
Well, it's, as we all know, it's tough to develop linemen in this league, and it takes time. And it's a fundamental issue that he's working hard to fix and keeping his elbows tight and you know, that helps keep your hands down and keep your hands tight, and it's something that we're working on.
Eric Morris has had, I think, four different reports next to him. How much of that has maybe affected him, not just in terms of the technique, but in terms of timing and stuff like that?
Yeah, we're fortunate to have four guys be able to go in there and give us a chance to win ball games. I'm sure it hasn't made it easier, for Eric, but that's part of it in this league.
Ben, as you prepare for Sunday, does the game plan include Tambourine?
There's a chance we could have a package for Shane if he's ready to go. If not, then there won't be.
When do you anticipate Dolan?
We have a practice Saturday, so there's a chance on Saturday we could make a decision.
Ben, are there any structural things, just roster-wise, running game, quarterback, tight end participation, and blocking?
We have some young tight ends that we're working to develop, and they're making progress.
How willing are you to use Javon Kennard as a defensive end, or maybe with JPP's absence?
We're going to use all hands on deck approach to fill his shoes.
Ben, how can you improve, or how can your defense's second level improve its tackling and pursuit? I mean, I know Bell is a heck of a back, but just like the linebackers in the pursuit of the ball in space.
We just need to keep on working at it. We took steps today, and we'll take steps tomorrow.
Just to clarify what you said, Saturday, does that mean it's the coaching staff decision now, whether it's a past medical treatment?
No, it's a medical decision.
And does Obi doesn't know, does he have to take on anything else, anything more to do with that?
Like the entire 53, everyone needs to focus on doing their job. If they try to do too much, that puts everyone else in a bind.
You still planning on having them in pads tomorrow?
There's a good possibility, yes. All right, thank you.
So, Coach Ben McAdoo and the Giants continue their preparations for Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys. David and I will be back to break this game down further. Stick around. More after this on MSG. Welcome Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. It is time for our GEICO news update of the day. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your insurance. David, it's got to be about JPP. We know he's having that abdominal surgery, or had it this morning. We've already heard from the coach. This is a guy who's played 91% of the Giants' defensive snaps this year, 53 tackles, 7 sacks. It's a bad loss for the Giants.
It's a tremendous loss for the Giants' defense because he has been so disruptive here as of yet. Because what did we see? We saw the potential of coming back from hurting his hand, hit productivity. He has been playing at a high level. He has been playing on the opposite side of the ball, not only on the passing game, but his ability to be stymie and stout at the point of attack up against the runs. And that's going to be a loss in this game up against the Dallas Cowboys, who are going to challenge the edges, because a lot of times Ezekiel wants to run that inside zone. But what does he do? He bounces it outside if that defensive end is not disciplined, and forces linebackers and defensive backs to tackle him in open space.
Okay, David, let's go to our Twitter question of the day. Get a look at it on the screen there, and the gentleman wants to know about what you think the offense is struggling about, and, you know, the penalty for the safety last week, the 2 sacks against Pittsburgh. It's been rough.
I think it's a product of negative plays on first and second down. When you're not able to stay ahead of the chains on first and second downs, it's going to cause you into negative plays, especially when you were in third and longs on the road up against a defense like the Pittsburgh Steelers. And going back to what we were talking about in the first segment, this game up against the Steelers, Victor Cruz with 0 targets. The week before, Sterling Shepard with 0 targets. When you are down and you are trying to force feed the football to Odell Beckham Jr., you don't spread the football like you would normally. And then the sheer fact that you become one-dimensional. When you're not able to run the ball successfully, defensive ends, linebackers, and safeties, with that fake, they don't take that step up or have that split hesitation because they're not worried about it. So they pin their ears back and they play the run on the way to the quarterback.
Now, if the Giants are going to get a running game going, you don't want to run at Sean Lee. This guy's tied for 3rd in the NFL with 112 tackles. But I thought this was interesting. Only 1 pass broken up this year out of him from a guy who's usually good in coverage.
Which is surprising because they run a modified Tampa 2 system. But he is an instinctual player. When he's out on the field, he makes plays sideline to sidelines. He's very good at covering running backs out of the backfield. He is one of those players that sniffs screens right away if you're trying to slow down the pass rush up. So he is just one of those players that when he is out there healthy, he makes plays all over the field.
Now, the Dallas secondary still missing left corner Maurice Claiborne. This is a guy who's got a pelvis injury. And Tyron Crawford, defensive end with 3.5 sacks, leads the team. You might be able to throw on these guys.
You most certainly will. And because they've been aided earlier, they only averaged 27 minutes on the field, which is the least in the NFL. But you can really see Rob Marinelli trying to cover up their weaknesses, showing up. They've been on the field 70 plays in 6 of the last games. You see them starting to get worn down in the fourth quarter. And the thing that they're not doing, only 1 takeaway in 5 games.
All right, when we come back here on MSG, we will talk more about how the Giants and Cowboys match up, the strategy and the scheming that Big Blue needs to do to come out on top. Stick around. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. You know, the Giants defensive front's going to have a heck of a time against this Dallas offensive line. They're averaging about 5 yards a carry on the ground and tied for 5th fewest in the NFL, only allowing 18 sacks, David.
This is the only group in the NFL that has a 100-yard back every game that they've had this season, and the only team in the NFL that runs the ball 50% of the time or more. This is an area that you really have to be concerned for this Giants defense, especially without having JPP in the lineup, because what do? They run inside zone, they run power, they run downhill, and they make sure they get Ezekiel Elliott to the second level. The one thing that you have to be worried about, especially now with JPP out and that onus that it puts on that defensive end or the backside defensive end, there's inklings that they may run wildcat coming into this football game.
Now, when you talk about Elliott, this is a guy with 5 100-yard games, but you refer to that game against the Giants, 20 carries for only 51.
And out of those 1,285 yards, 742 of them have come after contact. So this is a guy that you have to wrap up. You can't arm tackle. He's had 430 rush games plus. But he is a complete back. He is physical. He gets downhill. He lets blocks develop. He has the speed to hit the perimeter. But the thing that he really does is he can play in third down. He has the ability to pick up coverages and blitzes, but he also can catch out of the backfield. So he is a complete threat.
And we can't slight Dallas's other spectacular rookie quarterback, Dak Prescott. He has only thrown two picks all year. That came in weeks 6 and 7 against Philly and Green Bay. The guy's been virtually flawless.
For a rookie, he is highly efficient. He hasn't had an interception in his last 163 passing attempts. And he has really guided this offense and manhandled other teams trying to minimize his effectiveness. He has gotten better each and every game. And what has he done now since he has gotten better and more influenced? He has spread the football amongst everybody along there.
Yeah, but when he's looking for a big play, you know it's going to be Dez Bryant. But it's Janoris Jenkins who might draw the assignment, tied for fourth in the NFL with 15 pass knockdowns. Dez only had one catch for 8 yards in week one against the Giants.
He's been a complete game wrecker these last six games. He's had 26 receptions for an 18.6 average, 5 touchdowns, 3 receptions of 50-plus. But this is the number that everybody has to look at. The Cowboys are 5-0 when Dez Bryant has a touchdown.
And if it's not Dez Bryant, well, it's Jason Witten or Cole Beasley, a variety of other guys they can go to. Witten last week against Minnesota had his streak snapped of 130 games with a reception.
Well, it doesn't matter whether it's Dak Prescott or Tony Romo. He is a security blanket, a proven veteran, knows how to block, knows how to find holes in zone defenses and versus man. But his biggest thing, out of his 52 receptions, 28 of them have been 4 first downs.
Yeah, and you guys heard me mention Beasley before. He is in the top 10 in the NFL with 20 third down conversions. Hey, don't forget, if you're coming to Sunday's game with the Giants and the Cowboys, it is Coat Day here at Giants Stadium, at MetLife Stadium, I should say. Just remember, always, David, a good idea to help out those less fortunate during the holidays.
Especially with this weather hitting, help out as many as you can.
Yeah, bring your new and unused coats to the security gates at the ticket booths. We will collect them and make sure they are distributed to people who need them during the very cold months of December, January, and so forth and so on. Hey, we'll see you next time here on MSG for Giants Press Conference Live.